Well, if you'll please be seated. Okay. Trying to get my eye fixed on him. You know, I think Chip was hiding over behind the ensemble just to give me a little, make my heart beat a little faster. I was looking for my opening prayer man, and finally at the last second I saw him. I just know Bob Mitchell is here somewhere. Anyway, he's going to be giving. There he comes. Bob Mitchell from Sacramento, he's over special services here at the Bend Feast, is going to be bringing us the sermonette.
Well, greetings for another wonderful Feast of Tabernacles Day here in Redmond. Delightful. For over 30 years, I was a real estate broker in the greater environmental area of Sacramento, California. But over that period of time, eventually, I kind of got burned out in it. But while in the business, I bought a house that was under construction. I learned an awful lot about building in the process of finishing it. So I actually still work today, to a certain extent, in building and home maintenance, and I enjoy it a lot. Do you believe that I can get into your house in 5 minutes? I won't cut a screen, and I won't break a window. I won't use a key. I won't kick in the door. Matter of fact, I've gotten into a lot of houses over the years. The last time was about 6 weeks ago. I got in under the watchful eye of a policeman standing close by. How did I get in? With a cordless drill and a quarter-inch drill bit. Drill into the keyhole, and you can unlock the lock and walk right in. In my case, I put new locks on. In every case, the tenants were being evicted for non-payment of rent, or they moved out and took all the keys with them. The policeman I met about 6 weeks ago told me about an incident he and his partner encountered. They were walking their beat one night in the wee hours of the morning, and they went around the corner of a building. Here was a burglar in a kneeling, sitting position at the entry of a doctor's office. He was drilling the door lock. They walked right up behind him, tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around, and he was in a state of shock and surprise. He said, I was going in to get my computer. The policeman handcuffed him, took him by the arms, and said, "This is the way to the squad car. Come with us." You know, brethren, in the coming wonderful world tomorrow, when God's kingdom is established, we can read of it, an event that's going to happen, what will transpire there, and who will be on the scene. Let's turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 30. And verse 18 through 21, it tells us what God and the saints will be doing. Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll pick it up in verse 18. It says, "Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." What would be your responsibility in the government of God? that you are even right now in training for. In the millennium, you will have a new vocation. You'll either be a king or a priest teacher. Spirit-born teachers in God's family will take a personal part in bringing about a full comprehension of God's law. And they will direct people to take the proper action, correct action. It's clear from Scripture that there will be potential lawbreakers. The appearance of a spirit ruler or a voice out of nowhere, as it were, will cause lawbreakers to freeze in the act, like the thief drilling the doctor's door lock. Yes, the Feast of Tabernacles is part of a training ground to grow spiritually and become like our elder brother, Jesus Christ. The feast is a physical feast as well, filled with rejoicing and thanksgiving. It's a spiritual feast of education and preparation. In the world tomorrow, Jesus Christ will be supreme ruler from Jerusalem. So let's take a moment, just a moment, and look at man's government as opposed to God's soon coming world government. To help curb the possibility of tyranny, many governments of the world today are divided into separate branches. In the United States, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches of government are separate. There is the teaching field, which in democratic countries is separate from the government, but in most cases is overseen by government. In God's soon coming kingdom upon this earth, these four functions will be united. The head of the God family establishes the laws. That is the executive or legislative function, rather. The God family will enforce the laws, the executive function. The God family will also interpret the laws and judge cases concerning them, the judicial. And the God family will be responsible for the educational function. It will faithfully teach the people God's law. And the divine ruler who serves them will do it with genuine love and concern. Jesus Christ tells us the kind of ruler he wants in his kingdom. Turn, if you will, with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and 25, verses 25 through 28. Matthew chapter 20. But Jesus called them, that is the disciples, to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26 tells us this. It tells us what's promised to those who overcome. It tells us, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Power and authority will be in all parts of the world, in the kingdom of God. All government policies will be based on the pattern laid down from the world headquarters of the world capital of Jerusalem by Jesus Christ himself. Each ruler under Christ will be responsible to him. God's government will be perfectly organized. It will be devoid of useless red tape and excess baggage bureaucracies. No money or time will be spent on campaigning for elections. There will be no politicians to cater to special organized groups or classes. God will appoint his resurrected saints as rulers and educators. And no lobbyists or pressure groups will be able to be corrupted by these individuals. No saints will be corrupted by these lobbyists. There will be no insurrections. There will be no rebellions. God cannot be overthrown. Satan's failed attempt proved that. Another important point that will happen when Jesus Christ returns can be found in Zephaniah chapter 3. If you go there, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. Confusion of the language is one of the most important barriers that has hampered the cooperation between peoples. God will give this world a pure language. Zephaniah chapter 3 tells us, "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." In the millennium, Christ will usher in an era of worldwide literacy and education through a pure language. People everywhere will speak, read, and write the same language. And no member of the God family will ever turn into an adversary. All members will have been proved in advance during their mortal lifetime. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us this. 1 John chapter 3. "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God." In the coming millennium rule of Jesus Christ, God will destroy the covering of spiritual blindness that has hidden the truth from all nations. No longer will religious confusion exist because Satan will have been restrained. Humans will be teachable, and their minds will be open to God's truth. People will begin to live God's way of love, the way of giving, of outgoing concern for others. They will learn the true values. They'll learn the way of peace, of happiness, well-being, and joy, and eventually spiritual salvation. The God family is preparing for the greater things still to come in the future. The millennium pictured by this feast is the only beginning of eternity, where happiness and accomplishment and joy will last forever.